To start, can you give me an overview of the scale of consciousness that you created and how we can use it today in society, just for those who may not be familiar with it?
For those who are not familiar with it, the scale of consciousness evolved as a result of my observation of clinical science of kinesiology phenomena, whereby certain things, if they're brought within proximity of the body, held against the solar plexus, or as it turned out, even held in mind, either make you go stronger or weak. Wow, that was quite something. Not only that, but the person who's being tested doesn't even have to know what it is. You can disguise what it is. And in the presence of certain thoughts, feelings, concepts, or physical substances, the body goes strong. And then alternately, in the presence of what it turns out to be falsehood or that which is inimical to life, the body goes weak. Well, when you think back over the evolution of life on this planet, I guess that makes sense. Human life starts in the animal world. And unlike plants, plants have chlorophyll, and they don't have to do anything to survive. Its inner chemistry automatically converts sunlight to energy. In the animal kingdom, you have to get, and this is the birth of the ego. You do not have within you what you need to survive energy-wise. You must constantly get it. Therefore, you must have like a constant information probe out there, probing your environment continuously for that which is going to be nurturing and discerning it from that which is inimical to life. That's the beginning of truth versus falsehood. You make a mistake, you die. So there isn't too much room for error. So as life evolves, then the basic presumption of the ego is that in and of itself it lacks. Therefore, it must always get. So our whole society, you can see, is based on getting success, getting, winning. And then through the animal kingdom, survival was enforced by forming groups. So you see the beginning of tribal formation in the animal kingdom, which is again reflected in nationalism and the various tribalistic conflicts of war. You know? Interesting, speaking of war, you know, that in the history of mankind, you know, that in the history of mankind, war has prevailed 93% of the time of human civilization. Peace has prevailed only 7%. So everybody talks endlessly about peace, but frankly, it's sort of a strange condition. Even people who are at peace, maybe at peace as far as war goes, but their society continues at war ideologically, politically. So man is very aggressive. So for the animal to survive, he's got to have a tribe of people who agree with him. And then the enemies are people who don't agree with you. And when you hear the vociferous rantings and ravings, you realize how primitive it is. You know, it's childish, you know. Very prominent politicians get out there and they rant and they wave their fist in the air, indignation. And it's like a three-year-old having a temper tantrum, you know, it's hysterical. I'd hate to tell you the calibration of some of the most vociferous politicians, but anyway. Yeah, it's an emotionalized self-indulgence, you know, it's sort of egotism. Well, we were talking about, you know, in ancient Greece, Aristotle and Plato and Socrates, you know, pretty much set up the paradigm of intellectual truth, which has prevailed to this day, you know, that there is a dialectic of logic and truth. You can't just say anything you like. So below 200, people just say anything they like. They don't feel constrained by reason, logic, or proof, or facts. They just feel that way. So if they feel that way, it must be true. So they rant and rave about things of which they have no knowledge whatsoever. You know, the letters to the editor of the daily paper are illustrative of that. So there was a paradigm of truth set up as an intellectual, logical, out of which arose science. So science and all the wonders of the modern world arose out of the dialectic of truth which arose in ancient Greece. And then we saw its evolution as mathematics, Sir Isaac Newton, who calibrated 499, and we see its evolution as science. Science has been the great benefactor of the modern world, and the ancient world looked to religion and revealed truth for reality. Modern man, I think, tends to look to science. So science, to some degree, has replaced God as the most revered and valued salvation of mankind, you see?
Mm-hmm. Now, if we step back a second, you said ancient man revered religion. Religion in the sense of spirituality, pure spirituality.
Yes, they're two different things, really, two different things. The great avatars, which historically, as I say, they began about 5,000 B.C. in the Aryan predecessor to what is now India. The great avatars were enlightened in those days. They calibrated the high 900s or 1,000, Krishna, etc. Then what happens is the followers of the great enlightened beings tend to institutionalize it, and it becomes called religion. Calibrated level of all religions is below that of the truth of the original founder, which happens because the truth is heard by people who are dominated by the ego. So how they what's said and how they hear it and understand it are two different things. Then, as every biblical scholar knows, there's mistranslations. Of course, the original teachings of the original great avatars weren't even written down for centuries. Then it was as people interpreted it, remembered it, repeated it. And then even the scribes altered. There was a subtle editing going on by the various scribes. And the history of the New Testament, of course, is that. And that's sort of how the revelations of John got in there, you know, that it calibrates at 70, and he himself calibrated at 70. And that particular level, the lower astral realm, having to do with dire prophecies and all such things, calibrates at 70. And periodically, people visit that realm. And experientially, it's quite real, experientially. So that it's possible for the psyche to leave temporarily the body and experience other domains and then report back because it's very convincing. Well, people who've had those, in every generation, people have those experiences, come back to tell everybody, prophesy the end of the world, you know. And since the beginning of time, there's been prophets of doom, you see. Well, I can't get any reality to it. And we've examined all these prophets of doom over and over again, and they all calibrate about 70 to 90, including the current bestsellers. You know, people from the future are going to come in and tell you about the truth of the end of the world and how to go to some extraterrestrial place. I mean, this is all childish fantasy. If you calibrate it, it's all below 200. None of it is above 200, and 200 is just the level of truth, not even high truth. 200 is just, you know, fact versus fallacy.